Landfall was founded by Otago poet Charles Brash back in 1947. Since then, it's had a succession of editors who've all made their own impression on the literary and art magazine. Today, we mark the latest changing of the guard. After 3 years at the helm, Emma Neal is signing off and poet and essayist Lindley Edmeads is signing on. We brought them together to hear Emma's highlights of her term and to find out how Lindley plans to stamp her mark on the publication. Emma's last Landfall book is Strong Words, #2, featuring entries for the hotly contested 2019 and 2020 Landfall essay competitions. Lindley, meanwhile, teaches poetry and creative writing at the University of Otago. Emma, reflecting back, you know, you went into the role of editor with your eyes wide open and knowing the publication, but what have been some of the surprises along the way for you in terms of both the role of editor and the place of Landfall?
Surprises. I suppose I wasn't quite aware of how much I would enjoy choosing the art portfolios. I really loved that because I think of myself as a kind of a lay viewer in a way, but I felt like I really learned a lot from having to explore the visual arts scene and selecting those. So I loved that, and I always felt quite kind of a childish excitement about what we'd chosen for the cover and what portfolios we were showcasing. So that was a real joy. I did know that there was going to be a huge amount of reading, but I hadn't truly understood how huge meant. but that was also, you know, it was one of the joys and one of the, one of the challenges of the job as well.
Have there been any, given the tumultuous last few years, have there been any themes that you've come across both in the words and in the visual art?
I suppose there have been in the youth essays in particular. You know, there's the annual competition for young writers writing essays, and quite a few submissions were about race relations in New Zealand and also the climate crisis. So for non-fiction, it did seem as if themes bubbled up a bit, but not necessarily in the creative work. I think it was a constant shifting landscape and lots of variety, which was really interesting.
Lindley, when you heard that the position of editor of Landfall was coming up, what made you go for it? Do you have a long association yourself with Landfall?
I don't. Well, I've been published a few times in Landfall. I actually had what Louise Wallace calls the Landfall curse for a long time, which meant I had tried to get published for a long time and didn't succeed. Finally got a piece published, I can't remember when, but it was under David Eagleton's editorialship. And so I guess I've kept an eye on it. And then being published with OUP with my previous two collections, having a more of a relationship with the press during that time has kind of opened my eyes to that. And getting to know Emma, although she did warn me that it's an intimidating job sometimes, but also alluded to the excitement of it.
That's a good understanding, though, in a way, Lindley, I imagine, that sense of rejection, you know, of trying to get published and not getting published, because this is going to be one of the hard parts of the job, and Emma, you've written about this too, is that selection process, and there are winners and there are losers, and that's just the way it goes.
I'm going to jump in there because I think that dividing them into winners and losers feels a little bit heart-wrenching, and I feel like every issue you have a chance of being accepted, and although people do get turned away, we always say you can resubmit, and for any writing career, you know, it does have ups and downs, and so being turned away by one editor for one issue is actually just par for the course, and a writer shouldn't see that as a rejection of themselves, of their core self, or the strength of their writing for all time. You know, it's a process for any writer. So yeah, I'd like to couch it in slightly more inviting terms than that.
Nice save. How do you feel about it, Lindley?
I guess I'm not quite sure what I'm walking into, if you like. And I'm pleased that there's the administrative side of things is taken care of, that I don't have to send the rejection letters myself. But I do think it's an important part of being a writer, and I teach creative writing, and I often say to the students, you know, it's okay if you get rejected, and actually that's quite a good character building moment for many of us. And any writer has these stories. there's very few that don't have stories of the great work that was rejected.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's part of the job, I think. I think what will be hard is rejecting the work that is very, very close to making it, and mm-hmm. wanting potentially to get into a conversation and saying, you know, maybe you could think about cutting this part, and then I might think about including it in the next submission. Actually just saying no and yes to some things might not be as clear-cut potentially in my mind.
Is there room for that, Emma? I mean, you've been, you know, holding this role for the last few years. Can you get into that level of detail with everybody who's submitted work to give them creative? I mean, it becomes a huge role, doesn't it? If you're responding to every work, saying if you just did this and maybe you tweak that, you become a teacher and a mentor as well as an editor and anthologist, effectively.
There's definitely room to do that, but you have to be really selective about how often you do enter that dialogue. And I do have at least one situation where a writer I was trying to mentor and bring a piece up to publication standard with became quite abusive and difficult. And, you know, that was kind of a lesson in not investing too much time, partly because of these complexities that can arise, and that the job will end up, you know, draining you and making you burn midnight oil if you do that too intensely too often. But if you see something that is truly is very, very close and you feel like you could have room for it in the next issue, then there's definitely room to enter into dialogue with writers. And that's happened to me a few times where I've had to turn something away for one issue and then remembered it so vividly for the next one and decided I did have room for it for the next issue. It actually happened to two writers for the final issue. So there is room for that, for people to, you know, have the kind of a second chance for a piece. Yeah.
The literary landscape, of course, has changed so dramatically since Landfall started, and we have the whole online and, you know, everything that's going on. What place do you think Landfall has? I mean, has it been, if you like, a foundation block for literary, you know, something that's been solid and the standards are very high, and it comes out X number of times a year, you know, and it changes with the times because of themes and ideas and diversity and all of those things, but it is something that writers can kind of hold on to in this time of change.
That's a really wonderful description, actually, Lynn. I feel that in terms of where it sits on the literary landscape, one of the kind of responsibilities or duties it has is to still pay respect to the tradition or to sort of senior writers' careers. So I feel like it's a place that both invites fresh, invigorating, young, new, surprising voices, but also offers a place for the long-term career, because, you know, we need somewhere that can showcase our best writers, and that can be people who've had a long career as well as people who are new on the scene. So it has to kind of, it's a bit of a juggling act, or a balancing act, perhaps, where you're both tied to tradition on the one hand, but also inviting in the new on the other.
We've had all these very strong personalities too as editors. You know, David Eagleton is a strong personality. Emma, yourself too. Lynnie, as you come in, what do you hope to bring to Landfall? I don't get a sense that you're here to shake things up or to heal something that's broken, because it's not. But what, under your editorship, what do you hope to bring to the role?
I guess to continue the legacy. It's a huge honour and quite an intimidating privilege, if you like. But I think Emma's done a great job, and I would just like to, in some ways, continue on with that. I think she did a great job of showcasing new writers, but also showcasing the diversity of voices we have in New Zealand, which I think is really important. And I'll be looking to explore that. But I'll also, I think one thing I will emphasise to people thinking about submitting is that I'm really interested in form and craft. So I'll be interested to see anything that's breaking the rules in some way, in some shape. Plus, that's not to dismiss the tradition, and I'm interested in the more traditional forms of storytelling or lyrics or nonfiction for that matter. But it's the craft that I'll be looking out for in both regards.
Lanfall, of course, has been a great champion of the essay, and it was in fashion. Then I think for a while it kind of slipped away a little bit, and I think I really feel very strongly that the essay is very much back, and thanks very largely to Lanfall, actually, by continuing to have the competitions and the anthologies of essays. What is it about the essay form, Emma, do you think, that has such an appeal? I mean, you've written about it having a shared poetic skill and psychological insight, which I think is rather lovely.
Well, I think it's actually an incredibly diverse, flexible genre, because it can be, a kind of an argument about a philosophical subject. It could be a personal memoir. It could be a collection of data that someone is trying to lay out before you to prove a case of some sort. And so I think that's partly why it invites such a huge range of submissions each time, because, you know, it's kind of, I want to say polymorphous, perverse itself as a form. I mean, it's sort of open to everything, and it can be experimental. It can be a sort of almost traditional narrative about someone's psychological development. So I think that's partly where its power lies, is it? Each writer can kind of bend it to their own interests and capacities. But I think it also has been really valuable having that continue both for young writers and for older writers as part of Lanfall, because it keeps the journal kind of tied to relevant contemporary cultural issues as well. So it helps the journal to maintain some relevance, I think.
It's nice to hear, Lindley, actually, that the essay form can be experimental, that kind of work that you're really keen to see as well, because there's something about the word that's very formal, and you think about it being formal, almost with footnotes, you know, quite structured. So I guess it's a delight, really, or people thinking of entering the essay competition, if they don't have that formal training, they can still write an essay.
Definitely. I'm really excited about the essay side of things. And particularly, I think, like you say, the essay is kind of having a new moment. But I think it's been having, this is the classic story, it's been having a moment in the States for a very long time. And we're just starting to see the arrival of some of those kind of experimental forms, like the hybrid form, poets turning their hand to essay writing, moving between the lyric and nonfiction, really, really messing up what our expectations might be, and certainly pushing against that more academic framework of the essay. So, yeah, definitely be open to reading some wacky, wonderful essays if people have those in mind.
I think it must be getting pretty hard to neatly put writers into categories. It's similar with dance and theatre, you know, and music. It's all about the fusion, food even, you know what I mean? And I've really noticed that so much in the last 20 years or so doing this show, that essays can be poetic and poems can be almost like a long narrative, you know what I mean? That the it's like anything goes, just about, and putting a label on it, this is a poem, this is a short story, I don't know that it works always so easily anymore. I mean, you'll have seen a lot more of this, Emma, than I have.
No, I don't think it does work quite so easily, but on the other hand, it's quite handy sometimes to have some of those frameworks in place as you're filtering and thinking through whether a piece actually kind of succeeds within its own world, if that makes sense. But to go back to Lindley's point about the essay being, I guess, being more open to experimental work, I think that's actually one reason why it's attracted so many submissions each time, this competition, and why we have such a high standard of entries, because it has become more open and has, that some of those boundaries have perhaps weakened a little bit. And that was one reason that Rachel Scott, the former publisher at OUP, first suggested an anthology growing out of one year's submissions because I found it so hard to choose the top essays, and was kind of bemoaning how much excellence there is. Oh my God. And initially I thought that was just perhaps I, you know, was having to toughen up, but she conceded that yes, you know, there were so many good entries that we needed to do something with them. And so that's where Strong Words grew from.
That's a lovely legacy, actually, for both of you, and a fabulous thing, Lindy, for you to take over. You'll be excited about that, that, you know, those frustrations that previous editors had felt, you will find a home. Strong Words 2 is coming out very soon. I imagine there'll be Strong Words 3, 4, 5 coming out. Is that something that you'd like to continue? And it turns you into an anthologist. I guess an editor, in a way, is an anthologist also, in a publication like Landfall.
Yeah, I think it's a great legacy to be stepping into, and I'm actually not judging this year's competition. Emma's continuing to do that this year, mainly so I could focus on the Landfall submissions, the huge pile that is piling up at the press at the moment.
That might be a question for you. I mean, how many submissions might come in for every publication-ish?
For me, it was a minimum of 260 individual writers sending work in each time.
And some might have multiple submissions.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. One writer would send in X number of poems and X pieces of short fiction. So each one has many heads. Yeah. But it's, I mean, that's exciting too. Imagine if you only had 20 submissions, you'd feel so disheartened, wouldn't you? And think, what's happened? Mm-hmm.
So anywhere from 260 onwards for you, Lindley, that is going to be a powerful amount of reading. Yes. I mean, Emma started by saying she didn't quite realise, I mean, she's loved it, obviously, but she didn't quite realise what she was letting herself in for with the reading. But, I mean, you're a writer also. Does it? And they say, you know, if you really want to be, you know, your best possible writer, you need to read.
Yes, yeah. I think so, I say nervously. I've been warned, I guess, is the answer to that. But I do a lot of reading. I think, you know, I teach creative writing and I read, I'm just judging a poetry competition at the moment, so I read a lot of unpublished work, and sometimes when I get into bed I just want to read something that's finished. So I think I need to balance that out with things that have been edited already, and I don't have to put on my editing hat or my teaching hat. Something that, yeah, the full stops are all going to be in the right place.
And leaving time for yourself. Well, and leaving time for yourselves to write also. Mm. That's the other trick with something as big as this, isn't it?
Yes, that will be the trick, I think. Which is partly why you're stepping away, Emma, I think.
Yeah, there are actually multiple reasons for wanting to move on to something else. And I think it's actually a really good thing for Landfall to have a change of guard, maybe every, I don't know, pluck a number out of the air, 4 or 5 years, because it's a bit like, I mean, you don't want one particular voice to dominate the selection process for too long, because, you know, it may well miss out really talented newcomers that don't quite spark something for that particular editor. So I think it's really healthy to have someone else take over. But on the personal front, I did quite miss the really immersive editing of a big work, which is what I'm going on to do now, is to do more freelance work for other publishers, where I kind of carry a novel from, you know, from beginning to end and get lost in that world. So I'm looking forward to that kind of working life now again. But it's been such a huge learning experience and such a fantastic stint to have had at Landfall. I've really, really enjoyed it and have all kinds of quirky anecdotes to put in my memoir one day about the hidden things on the literary scene, but that has to wait for at least 20 more years.